May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I would direct your attention to the screen.
I think what's important, and maybe the reason that I rated high on it, is, you know, my upbringing. I started early with the catechism classes. My parents are very moral people and still are. I couldn't help but see things biblically, and I think ultimately that's what we're looking at here, trying to discover what the Bible says, what God's Word says to do, and looking through that lens in all situations, trying to cut through the clutter. I looked up discernment a little bit. It's kind of one of those words that you can really dig real deep on. But when push comes to shove, basically what I came up with is discernment is looking at life and asking the question, what would God do?
I would add my special thanks to Michael and Cindy as well for sharing their insights into this special gift that God has given to some of us, the gift of discernment, which, as you can see from the screen, means the God-given ability to do what? To distinguish between, let's read it together, truth and error, good and evil, right and wrong, truth and deception. And the reason I say thank you is, you know, they helped me to get a better understanding of what discernment is all about. But there's something that can help us even more than that, and that is our gospel lesson for this morning. You know, when I first started working on this, I struggled a little bit in terms of how I was going to approach this gift, and then I read the gospel lesson, and that really helped. If I could have picked any passage I wanted to out of Scripture, I doubt that I could have come up with a better passage than this account of our Lord and his disciples making what would appear to be an unscheduled visit to the home of Mary and Martha. And the reason it helps us to understand the concept of discernment is because we're provided with two distinctly different views on how to serve the Lord. I mean, think about it. Especially the gals who are here this morning, I need to ask you, if you were to go to your door because somebody had knocked on the door, and you suddenly had 13 men standing at your front door, how would you have reacted? After you picked yourself up, you might very well have reacted much like Martha did, right? Who went out of her way to do everything she could to make a good impression on these guys, who went out of her way to help in whatever way she could, to be the good hostess. That's all Martha was trying to do, was to be a good hostess here. For it's not every day that you get to entertain someone as special as Jesus and his disciples. It's not every day that you get to play hostess to the Son of God. Just think about that. And you know, when I first read this text again, I almost pictured in my mind Martha scurrying around the house, picking up this, putting away that, waiting on her guests at every turn. But then we have her sister Mary. And what's Mary doing? Just sitting there, listening to Jesus, giving him her undivided attention. So I'm going to ask you another question. How would you have reacted to that? If you were welcoming these people in, you're trying to do all this stuff to get it ready for them, and your sister isn't lifting a finger to help. That might not have gone over too well, right? And we see a little bit of that here with Martha, because, you know, number one, she's concerned about her sister being impolite because she's not really helping to entertain. She's also perceived, at least by Martha here, I think, as being downright lazy, sitting there while she is doing all the work. And I have to believe that Martha probably expressed her displeasure to Mary about that at one point. But nothing seems to faze her sister. And she simply continues to focus her attention on their guests. I mean, even Jesus, who had to have known, he knew everything, right? Had to have known what was going on here, and yet he didn't say anything until finally Martha approaches him and says, "Lord, tell my sister to get up and help me here." And he says, "Martha, Martha," I can almost hear him saying that, "you know, you worry about so many things." And yet, how many of us don't do the same? I mean, if you think about it, for many of us, the affairs of this life, the events of here and now, those are the things we see as being most important. In other words, the desires of our human flesh are such that most of us generally give top priority to things that are literally here today and gone tomorrow. Wrap ourselves up in our own little world, paying little heed to anything else. Even among those of us who are supposedly Christian, we too sometimes fall short in this area, for more often than not, we get so wrapped up in doing things for the Lord, in serving Him, that we fail to give honor where honor is due. Which is perhaps where we are most like Martha. After all, she wasn't necessarily doing anything wrong. I mean, she was serving the Lord, right? It's just that she had begun to allow all of the details of and preparations for that to rule her life. And we often do the same thing. Become so involved in serving the Lord or in the affairs of the church that I fear we fail to remember what is truly important. I mean, some of us may even go so far as to look at others and get upset because we see them as not doing their part. Have you ever felt like that? You know, yeah, they may be in church every Sunday, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening like Mary was. But because they're not in the choir, let's say, or because they're not active in the voters' assembly, because they don't participate in all of the various activities that are going on at the church, we somehow get this idea that they're not doing their part. That they're not being very good Christians. And yet, could it be that Mary was simply exercising her spiritual gift here in our text? That having determined the truth, what was good or right, could it be that having been gifted with this ability, Mary had discerned that sitting at Jesus' feet was what was truly needed by her, as well as everyone else that was present that day? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people are right when they fail to get more involved in the church. After all, there does need to be some balance here. Yet if you think about it, perhaps there's something to be learned from Mary's example here. For the truth is, which is what Mary obviously realized, is that unless one actually hears the Word of God, unless one actually reads, marks, learns, and inwardly takes to heart, as we say in one of our prayers in the liturgy, all that God has to say, why would someone even get involved? That's the message of our text for this morning, is most appropriate, I believe, for a couple of reasons. First of all, like Mary, who realized that only one thing was needful, that there was only one thing that will truly last forever, what this text is saying is that each of us needs to take time to sit at Jesus' feet and truly listen to what he has to say. I mean, Martha, you know, she may very well have thought Mary was simply being lazy. But the reality was that Mary had simply chosen what she perceived to be the better portion. In fact, realizing just who this was sitting there in front of her, realizing that this was Jesus and that what he had to say would be important, Mary was really doing the only thing she could or should do: sit and listen. And so she did that. She sat and listened as Jesus may very well have told her that he was God's Son, sent to redeem the world. Listen as he revealed to her how he would one day give his life on the tree of the cross in order to redeem sinful man. Listen as he, through that message of love and grace, brought her and everyone else who was listening to a saving knowledge of him, and as he gave them the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. All things, by the way, that each and every one of us needs as well, if we're going to be moved to exercise our gifts of in love and service to him as well as our fellow man. What I mean is, realizing the importance of hearing and studying God's word. That the gospel is indeed, as Paul puts it, the power of God unto salvation. And that through that gospel, the Spirit is working to not only bring us to faith, but to keep us in the faith. More importantly, recognizing that only the good news of God's grace in Christ can give true purpose and meaning to whatever we do. Each of us needs to sit at Jesus' feet, not to avoid the unpleasant tasks of life, but to bask in the presence of the Lord. not to get out of helping serve in the church, but to be filled with the good things he alone can give. In fact, that, my brothers and sisters, is the second and perhaps the most important takeaway from our time here this morning. That like Mary, we need to determine what our God-given gifts are, so that moved by his word, we might put those gifts into action in our daily lives. Not just in the church, although one would have to assume or surmise that that's a big part of the reason God gave us those gifts, was for use in the church, but at the same time to use those gifts out there in the world. In fact, that's my prayer for each and every one of us gathered here this morning. That as we take time to hear God's word, as we take time and focus in on his teachings, that it would enable us to determine just how he's gifted us, so that in recognition of all that he's done for us by his life, death, and resurrection, we might be moved to respond by serving him in our special ways. Of course, I have to be honest when I say that this is a lesson that I've struggled with at times myself. Not what my gifts are, but that I don't know that I have the gift of discernment. And I've struggled with that because, you mentioned growing up, Mike, and I grew up in a good, solid Christian family, but I also grew up knowing the meaning of hard work because I not only had my specific duties to do around the house, the chores that we had to do, but I also had a job at a very early age, a paper route that I did every morning for God knows how many years. Later on, I even had a job cleaning up at the local bakery after they got done making their mess, making all the breads and the rolls and all that kind of stuff. And as a result, I often find myself acting more like Martha. And even going to the point of looking at others who don't get involved or who seem to avoid work of any kind as being impolite, if not downright lazy. In fact, I'll never forget my mother telling my sisters and I repeatedly, don't just sit there, do something. You've heard that before, I'm sure. She believed idle hands were the devil's workshop. And believe it or not, that same work ethic carried over into our family's service in the church. And what I didn't realize at the time, which is part of the reason I think I don't have the gift of discernment in my top three at least, is what Mary knew. And that is that there is nothing wrong with sitting at the Savior's feet, listening to what he has to say. Nothing wrong with reading, marking, and inwardly taking to heart the very truths he alone has to offer. For in so doing, we're most certainly going to be assured of God's love and forgiveness for our sins. But more importantly, we'll be moved to not only figure out just what our gifts might be, but how to put them into use in our Father's kingdom. And so I'd like to switch that saying around a bit this morning. Instead of saying, don't just sit there, do something, instead of saying that, I'm going to say, don't just do something, sit there. And may that enable each of you to not only discern your gift, but move you to do what God has gifted you to do. To his glory. Amen.